If you would join me with going to God in prayer. Most kind and wonderful, loving God, thank you for your blessing, for the life that you give us. And God, it is this life that we are so blessed with, and we thank you. And God, I just ask that you would take this time to speak into each one of us what you have prepared. You may use my voice as you see fit, but God, that the words be yours, that we could hear both with our ears, but with our heart, and be able to take this and move forward. And God, it is your gift to us. Just praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. The title is Reconciled. Could be mend or cure. A remedy, it's a resolve. Situation is settled, it's reconciled. So we know that that is kind of the premise that we're going with. Do you have scars on your body? Maybe they're physical scars, or maybe they're emotional. But those scars are an indicator of something that's occurred in your life. Can you remember how you got them? I started looking around and realized there's a fair amount of scars on my body that there's a lot of memories tied with some. Probably some of the largest scars I have on my body, my sister probably has a better memory of than I do. It was a motorcycle wreck, and to this day, I have no idea how it happened. But nonetheless, I have a reminder on one leg of scars. They keep me in reality that something did happen. Scars, they do remind us of events, people, or experiences. You know, as you think about those things, maybe the sight of the scar brings a memory back, or maybe you have a scar and you go, I don't remember how that ever happened. But our emotional scars, there's probably triggers that will bring those back. Maybe they're all put away neatly in a box inside, but a trigger will trip them. So those scars are there. A scar can remind us of suffering and of pain, of healing, and of forgiveness. When we think about the power of what that image is, it can bring back. Yeah, I have a physical reminder of a change in my life, and that I no longer live the way I lived when I got that scar. Jesus had scars that showed that he had showed the disciples. And you think about it, as we've read the scriptures, we know those scars as well, on his hands, on his side. Those are things that we know. Within Jesus' scars lies our redemption, healing, and restoration. Later, as we get to the communion table, those are images that come from his sacrifice and those scars that were there for us. Our text today is from chapter 17 of Luke, verses 11 through 19. And it's from the section of the scriptures known as the travel narrative. They take place as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and the cross. These stories that we will go through today is in part of that narrative on his journey to Jerusalem for the final time. Within this story, we see the intentionality of Jesus reaching out to others. And remember, I have mentioned numerous times, and I will emphasize it again, Jesus was very intentional in what he did. When he interacted with different people, there was very intentional as he went to the woman at the well, to Legion on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. As this story goes, he happened to come along with the possibility of interacting with 10 lepers, I don't think that was an accident. Again, he was very intentional in reaching other people. And the people are impacted by his presence. A couple of things. The first thing is travel narrative. Jesus is on the way, his way to Jerusalem, and his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. So this was all part of what he knew was going on as he traveled. The second is the region between Samaria and Galilee. There is no region between Samaria and Galilee. Step over here and kind of look. Here's Galilee. Here's Samaria. And this is a blow up of it, a bigger section of it. Do you see a region separating them? Bible scholars have said that maybe Luke didn't have very good geography, and that was the reason for this misspeak. On the way to Jerusalem, he's passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So what's this region between? What does that draw to? Who is Jesus and what is this region between? And could it, what meaning would it have for us today? We know how history from history that people of Samaria and Galilee did not like each other. They viewed each other as enemies. And it's sad because they should have been brothers. That's how they should have treated one another. But yet they were enemies. They hated each other. How many of our personal relationship ended up being twisted by offenses? Think about that. Some of the relationships that you have with neighbors, coworkers, former coworkers, family. They may be real or perceived, those differences, those offenses, but they're never reconciled. Leaving us with enemies next door instead of neighbors. We've all heard of families that have this feud, this ongoing feud. And what's most interesting in a lot of cases, when you ask, what is the reason for this ongoing feud? And most of them cannot tell you. It's so many generations back, it's just a part of this history that we feud with them. We don't get along. Why? Well, back great-great-great-grandpa, no one really knows, but yet it's still perpetuated. It still goes on. It makes for stories of like Romeo and Juliet that Shakespeare wrote. Families that didn't like each other, their kids, they liked each other. But where was the reconciliation? Where did this change? Jesus has come to reverse these relationships. That's a lot of his premise for coming to this earth was to change. We can rightly say that Jesus is our reconciler. Or reconciliation. That's what he does. Jesus stands in the middle of our relationships. So that space between Samaria and Galilee is the space that's between the people. The relational aspect of it. It's not a physical narrow path that separates. It's the emotion and the relationship of these two people groups. And it can be the same thing with us. He is the region between. Have you think about the fact that Jesus Christ is in the middle of our relationships with him and with one another? So if you are struggling with someone, Jesus is between you and that someone, helping to mend that problem. No matter how severed or damaged our relationship is with God or with our neighbors, we can trust that Jesus is going through that region between. It's always going to be there. Those scars that we carry, he's right there with you in those. He's a part of the event. Did he cause it? No. But he wants you to put those away, to move forward, to have positive experiences. Jesus is always working by his Spirit to reconcile and to restore what has been lost. If you grew up in a situation where families didn't get along, you have no idea what restore looks like. Or if you had a wonderful relationship with someone and something happened and it went south, do you really want to live with that? Always being there? Or wasn't it a lot better to have that positive experience, that positive relationship? And that's what Jesus is doing through his Spirit, is working towards restoration, reconciliation, to allow that to heal, to be a part of, to create space for healing and reconciliation. That's what Jesus is doing. He is creating that space for us. In verses 12 through 13, 10 men called out to Jesus from a distance, simply asking for mercy. This picture, this whole journey, Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. And 10 men call out. They want some help. It's interesting. The lepers were both Jew and Samaritan. They were not keeping their distance from each other. These 10 men, they weren't separated by Jew and Samaritan. They were all living in this diseased-filled life of being an outcast, of not being able to associate with anybody else. So, hey, you know, that old barrier of Jews and Samaritans, that went away because they only have each other because of that disease. But they didn't want to stay there. They wanted to get rid of that. The barriers that once separated them were gone. They only have each other. We are reconciled as brothers and sisters in our union with the Lord, who suffered and died for us. That's our connection. We have that readily available to us. It's a part of our world. Jesus saw them. Think about that. He's walking along with his disciples, and he knows he's going to encounter these 10 guys. And he sees them from a distance. And that's the thing I want you. Simply sees them. Nothing dramatic. No big fanfare. They're at a distance. They're calling out. And he sees them. He sees who they are. He sees who they are that God created. He sees beyond our disease of sin and sees who God created us to be. He knows. When he looks at you and you respond and reply to him, he knows who you have been created to be. Are you there yet today? Probably not. But that's the journey of our life. But God sees that and he knows what the potential is. So Jesus tells these 10, go and show yourself to the priests. That comes from the Torah in the Old Testament. That was one of the requirements, is as a healing of a disease, specifically in this case, leprosy, you had to go to the priest and he had to declare you clean. Once he declared you clean, you were clean. It would make sense for the 10 men to simply walk away. Can you imagine that experience? They walk away. They go to the temple for the ceremony. They know the rules. And then they go back to their everyday lives. You know, maybe they weren't born with leprosy. Maybe they had lived a number of years before leprosy hit them. And they had a life. They had a family. They had jobs that they went back to. Returning to these tasks and relationships the leprosy had stole from them. Wouldn't that make you kind of happy? Wouldn't that be kind of good news? But in verse 15 and 16, one of the lepers saw that he was healed. All the lepers were healed, but only one saw it. What does that mean? That he actually physically noticed, and there was more to it than just my arm's restored. My hand is totally restored. After seeing that he was healed, another change took place in this one individual. He recognized that he was healed. He saw it. There's more to this story in his mind. There has to be something going on. The leper turns back, the one, praising God, and ultimately ends up at Jesus' feet. As you think about that, he recognized the miracle that had happened. He knew who created that miracle, and he didn't walk away from that. There's more there. I want to be a part of something that is doing that kind of positive. Had these 10 or the 9 turned back, they would have experienced much the same, but they didn't. They chose to just go back to their physical life. The leper came back to the source of his healing. That's where we come in. That's where we look at things. As we see these scars on our body and it brings back memories, what do we do with those? Do we go to Jesus and say, help me to not make silly mistakes again? Help me to do positive things? He is coming back to Jesus because he understands. He's learning that it all comes through Jesus. I don't know how bad his body was covered with leprosy. It was a horrible disease. Horrible. To the point that you were an outcast. You could not be around other people. If people were coming to you, you had to shout out, unclean, unclean, leprosy. They had to warn. So they were not only outcasts, but they had to announce that they were outcasts. And when this man looks and all of that is gone, maybe some joints or some fingers or toes reappeared that he had lost. We don't know, but it was that kind of a disease, that kind of a change. And he knew there was something beyond just his healing. And he came back to that source. We too have more to receive from the Lord as we continue to turn back to him. Do we do that? Do we continually look back and say, God, thank you. Your grace is awesome. And I want more. I want to do something with that. What keeps us at times from returning to God and giving praise to him? You ever think about that? What is the barrier? What is the wall? What is your hesitation? And it's your hesitation because he is there always, willing, waiting. No matter how far we journey, when we turn back to the Lord, he is always to be found. There's never a time when we say, well, I messed up. I need help. I need assistance. He's right there, willing and ready. The one who returned was a Samaritan. The 9 that left were mixed bag. A Samaritan who had leprosy would have been an outcast of an outcast. Jews would have discounted him from the get-go because he was a Samaritan, and then you double that up with leprosy. As we see our healing in Jesus, we can place our trust in him. No matter how much of an outcast we think we are, and maybe you don't, but I dare say that sometime in your life, there are times you feel like, I don't fit. I don't belong. We've all experienced that in some way. And if not, the person beside you probably has. As kids growing up, that's a horrible place because many kids will ostracize others and they become an outcast. They're no fault of their own. It's a part of the fallen human world. But Jesus is right there. You're not an outcast. He knows that. Jesus is the region between. He is the very middle, healing and reconciling. So as you think about your life, anyone you interact with, Jesus is between you and that person. Helping that situation, nurturing that relationship, healing a relationship, if it's one of those that is needed. And I dare say we all probably have someone that we would love to have a relationship with again. And in many cases, will never happen because they're gone. But that means that Jesus is still there. He still loves you. In faith, we can rest at Jesus' feet, knowing that he is the one who makes us well. Think about that. We can rest at Jesus' feet. There's no restrictions. There's nothing anybody can say, do, that stops that premise. We have access to Jesus Christ. We know that he is the one that can heal and take care of every sick. The physical scars, yeah, we see them. The emotional scars are buried deep. And unfortunately, there's triggers. Jesus is the one that can help you with those triggers. And I say that if you've ever experienced a situation where you've got it all under control, but a trigger sets you off again, and you've prayed and you've prayed, and then one day you realize that trigger didn't work. It didn't happen this time. I didn't react. It wasn't a negative thing from my past. How come the trigger didn't work that time? Jesus is in the middle. He helped you. And that's when you can go back and say thank you, like the nine that did not go back and say thank you. The one did. And when we can go back and say thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing and have done and will do for me in my life, as I interact with other people, as I share you with other people. How awesome is that? Because that's the one that is constant. That's the one that can heal. And he does reconcile. As we come to the Lord's Supper, communion, Eucharist. In reality, this is the key part of the service. This is the most important, if you want to look at it that way. It's a participation in the death and resurrection of our Lord. The Lord's Supper declares to believers that in every aspect of our Christian life, we rely not on any obedience or righteousness of our own, but solely upon the grace of God, incarnate in Jesus Christ. Have you experienced God's grace in your life? I want you to then ask, have you extended grace to other people? As he continually pours grace into our lives, as we are given on a weekly basis here and a reminder of the Lord's Supper, the grace that he gave to us and continues to, what do we do with it? Do we say thank you and that's it? Or do we extend it to other people? As we come forward and take the elements to experience those difficult elements, his broken body, beaten, his shed blood for us, that is in elements of the bread and the fruit of the vine. The gift that he has given us is before us. And we get to remember him and remember what he has done, what he is doing, as he is in that space between. As we partake, remember him. Loving God, as we come before you to share the elements of the sacrifice of Jesus, the gift that has given us hope, has given us a future, God, I ask that you would bless these elements, the bread, the fruit of the vine, that you would pour your blessing into these elements as we partake and as we experience life and relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're welcome to come. All are welcomed at the table. Come as you feel led.
Father, we are at the end of our worship service, but we are not at the end of praising you. Be with us as we leave our worship together. Be with us all the time as we praise you every day until you bring us back again. May we always be grateful for your love for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. From Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Have a great week.